Okay, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, beginning in verse number 10 today and going through verse 50. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." To them it has not been given. To the apostles it was given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to those who didn't want truth, it has not been given. The important thing that I want you to see is that God is the one who reveals spiritual truths. God is the one who reveals to people that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the King. God reveals these things to those who are willing to accept them. Those who do not want to learn will not understand. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's willing to teach anybody, but they must be teachable. He's not going to force it on anyone, but if somebody has a heart to learn, he'll teach them. Because then Jesus goes on in verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he's talking about truth. People who do not want to understand and obey God's truth, I should say people who want to understand and obey God's truth, will understand more truth. Those who do not want to accept the truth of God's word or obey the truth of God's word will eventually stop believing the truth that they believe at present. If they don't want to live up to the truth that they have, if they don't want it to be true, they will eventually lose their conviction that it is true. In other words, people who pretend that something isn't true when they know it is true, and they pretend that it isn't true because they don't like it, will get to the point where they won't even believe it anymore. That's a frightful thing, isn't it? You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God right now, but if you don't want it to be true, then you will eventually lose that belief. Even what you have will be taken away from you. 13. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them.' Each time a person willfully rejects what they know is true, it's as if a spiritual cataract grows over their soul. And if they continue to reject truth, they're going to end up spiritually blind. And at that point, they no longer reject truth. They don't recognize it to reject it. And at that point, they're in big trouble. Their hearts have become hard. Their souls have become blind. They are a heartbeat out of hell. 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. The disciples were very privileged because they saw and they heard the Messiah. God had promised to send the Savior many, many times in the Old Testament. And people for centuries waited for the Savior to come. And he did not come in their lifetime. But the disciples saw him. They lived with him for 3.5 years. The disciples saw God's promise come to pass. That's why they were so privileged. 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Two things need to happen for the word of God to sink in. First, the hearer must want truth. Second, truth must be proclaimed clearly. Number one, it has to be proclaimed clearly. You got to have a preacher or someone who will proclaim the truth of God's word and not water it down. Number two, you got to have somebody who's willing to listen to it and really wants to accept it, whatever it is. If those two things are not there, then the devil will snatch the word of God off the person's soul before they have a chance to understand it. And so, Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Some people hear God's word, and they get very excited. Oh, they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hear that you have to repent. They hear that you have to make a commitment to Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You have to continue with Him. Oh, and they get so excited. Yes, I'm going to repent. Yes, I'm going to live for Jesus. From this point on, baby, it is full steam ahead. Well, look at verse 20 again. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. As soon as they realize that there's some sacrifice or hardship involved in following Jesus, they quit. They would rather go to hell than put up with some discomfort for Christ. So that's where they go. They go to hell. And they are very foolish. 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Some people are too busy for Jesus. They are too consumed with making money or hanging out with friends or sports or hobbies or entertainment. They don't have time to pray or read the Bible or go to church, so they don't. And they end up in hell, where they spend eternity wishing that they had made time for Jesus. 23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Some people want truth. They hear the word of God. They repent. They live for Jesus. They understand that going to hell is the worst thing that can happen, so they remain faithful to Jesus through good times and through bad. They have faith in Jesus, and they live a good life. 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And as we will see, the wheat in this little story represents real Christians. The weeds represent those who say they are Christians, but are not. 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" And so the enemy planted the weeds to destroy the farmer's wheat. The farmer planted a nice crop of wheat. The enemy came along and planted all sorts of weeds to destroy the good stuff. And so the farmer's servants, they wanted to pull the weeds out right away. Let's get rid of it. It's destroying our crop. Let's get rid of them. Well, look at verse 29. This farmer knew his business. But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" You know, there are certain weeds that wrap their roots around the roots of wheat. And if you pull the weeds, then the wheat will be pulled out of the soil as well, destroying the entire crop. And so the farmer said, "We'll just wait until the wheat is mature. Then we'll go in with a sickle, we'll harvest all the wheat, we'll harvest everything. And after we harvest it, then we're going to separate the wheat from the tares, the good stuff from the bad stuff. Not now. We'll wait until after it's harvested." And Jesus is going to talk about this further in a few verses. 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." A mustard seed is smaller than a BB, but it can grow to be a 15-foot tree in its very first year. Jesus is saying, my church is going to start small, but it's going to become huge. And it has, and it continues to grow. 33. Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." Now, all I know about this is what I used to watch my mom do when I was a real little boy, because she used to bake every single day. And she used to make her dough. And she used to put a little bit of yeast into a big clump of dough. And she'd put it there. But you know what? It didn't stay there. Because that yeast would spread. And it would actually cause the rest of the dough to get bigger. You couldn't see the yeast in the dough. You couldn't see it. But you sure could see its effect. You couldn't see the yeast spreading throughout the dough, but you could see how it changed the dough. Likewise, when a person receives Jesus Christ, Jesus changes them and makes them more holy. Now, you can't see Jesus literally in them, but Jesus is in them. You can see what he does. You can see the changes that Christ brings about. And as he changes the Christian and makes them more holy, they change society and they make it a better place. 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them. Jesus used parables. He used stories to teach spiritual things. Stories help us to understand important truths. 35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So it was prophesied that the Messiah would teach through parables, and that's what Jesus did. And notice what it says here, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Those who didn't want truth were confused by the stories that Jesus told. And you know what they did? They went away. They didn't want truth. So the stories that Jesus told just confused them all the more. And they went away. Those who wanted truth understood the truth that the stories illustrated, and it made them hungry for even more. And that's how God separated those who wanted truth from those who didn't want truth. 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. The disciples wanted truth. They were hungry for truth. So they made an effort to pursue it. They said, Lord, explain it to us. And if you have a heart for truth, you say, God, explain to me the meaning of your word. He will do it, just like he will do for them. They want Jesus to explain the parable of the tares. So let's go back and read verses 24 through 26, and then we'll look at Jesus' explanation. Verse 24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Now let's look at verse 37. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And so the good seed are the saved people of the world, Christians. And notice, Jesus is the one who sowed those good seeds. Jesus is the one who saves people. That's the important thing to see. The good seed is sowed by the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus is the one who saves people. I can't do it. You can't do it. No powerful preacher can do it. No eloquent preacher can do it. You can't save a soul by being clever. You can't save a soul by arguing somebody into the kingdom of heaven. You can't save a soul by manipulation or by trying to be cool. All we can do is proclaim the word of God and pray that people receive it and allow Jesus to do his business. Look at 38 again. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. God makes people Christians. Jesus makes people Christians. Satan comes along and plants people in the church who maybe talk like Christians, but really are not. Satan puts them there to cause trouble, to stir up dissension. Look at 38 again. The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. When Jesus returns, he is bringing his angels with him. He will send his angels to gather up the people who have rejected him. The angels will be the harvesters. They're going to harvest all the people who have rejected Jesus Christ. Jesus will judge them. Jesus will send them to hell. Look at verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the end, God will remove all sinners who have refused his offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. There will be no sin on the new earth. Sinners will be removed. Jesus will punish sinners in the eternal fires of hell. It's going to be terrible for the wicked, and it will be terrible non-stop forever. Those who reject Jesus Christ will suffer forever. They will not be mingling with those who have repented. That's the whole point of this story. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Notice, for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In other words, Jesus is saying, you must want salvation through Christ more than anything else to get it. Well, yeah, I want you to be my Savior, Jesus, but I want this more. That won't cut it. You must want Jesus more than anything else to get it, to get salvation. Meaning, when we ask Jesus Christ to save us from hell and to be the Lord of our life, we must mean business. God says in Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Eternal life is the pearl of great price. You don't believe that? You don't believe that eternal life is the pearl of great price? Ask someone who is burning in hell what the pearl of great price is. What's worth more to him than anything else? Ask somebody who's burning in hell. He'll tell you. I'd give anything to get out of this place. Heaven's the pearl of great price. Eternal life is the pearl of great price. Escaping hell is the pearl of great price. I'd give anything to get out of this place. Nothing else matters. Just get me out of this place. It's the pearl of great price. 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. The Jews could only eat fish that had scales and fins. And, you know, fishermen used to have these huge nets that they would lay in the water, and then, you know, then they would drag the whole net in, and there'd be all sorts of creatures in that net. And the fishermen would have to go through them all. And if a fisherman pulled in his net and saw anything without scales or without fins, it was thrown back because it was unclean. It was no good. Could not eat it if you were a Jew. Unclean, get rid of it. It's not good enough to keep. And then Jesus says in 49, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. At the end of the age, the angels, on the last day, they will separate the wicked from the just. Not everyone who says they are Christians are really Christians. Not everyone who says they are Christians are saved, I should say. And it's not our business to judge who is and who isn't. The angels will do the separating when Jesus Christ returns, and Jesus will do the judging. And so it says, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What's going to be happening in hell? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some people say, hell is instant annihilation. Don't you believe it? The church has never taught that. For 2,000 years, Orthodox Christianity has taught that hell is everlasting torment. Hell is not instant annihilation. It is a place where people weep and wail and gnash their teeth, according to Jesus. Now, you don't do that if you're annihilated. Hell is eternal torment, and the wicked go there. And they may claim to be Christians. They may have the right beliefs. They may not. It doesn't matter. If they don't live for Jesus and they don't persevere with Christ, that's where they go. And we'll pick it up in verse 51 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.